So today's daf in Masechet Pesachim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Yud. And I think we're getting to the point where we're going to need to do one of those quick reviews of where we are up till now and get an overall structure. Yeah, I'll send you out the write-up, so like we do usually. So we do like 10 daf at a time. We'll try to do that tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem. Okay, so we were in the middle of this amazing thing in which the Gemara is attempting to interrelate the status of various sfeikas, chazokas, and so on that come up in the dinim of Bedikas Chametz, to every single place where we have a structure all across Shas about what to do with various types of sfeikas. And the question of where does Rov apply and where does Kabua apply and where does Chazaka apply and where does Sveik apply and so on and so forth. So that's what we just started yesterday. And the last thing that we learned was that there's a big difference between a question of being Semech, that the Rabbanan were Mekel, in the case where you can be Tela. This is called Tailing. You can be Tela that the Chulin fell into the Chulin and the Truma fell into the Truma, and that is on the Truma de Rabbanan. How can we say that by Chometz, which is Diraisa? And the Gemara came out and said, well, Chometz isn't not Diraisa, because we're talking about Bedikas Chometz. And Bedikas Chometz, I mean, after all, if you're Mevatel, then the Bedikas Chometz is a de Rabbanan. So basically, we're going to be Tela for a Derabbanan, just like we were on Truma Derabbanan. Now, this raised a question that we didn't speak about, which I think is worthwhile pointing out, and that is that in the original situation where we had the 9 piles of matzah and 1 pile of chametz, and the question was our comparison over there to where the mouse picked up a piece that had fallen out, or a mouse actually ran directly to the pile. So we said over there, we compared it to Tesha Chanuyas and to the dinav called the Parish Miruba Kaparish and Kavua. And Rashi said that we're talking over there about the question of whether we're going to need to be Baidik the house. Tosus asked the obvious question. Now we have the question that we had yesterday backwards in the inverse, because we can say just because we're going to be Makbid along the dinam of Tesha Chanuyas where it's Kavua on a Diaraisa, doesn't mean, I mean, there we're talking about eating tarfas or eating chalev or nevela, right? And over here we're talking about the question of whether you need to do a bedika. So how in the world would Rashi say that it's comparable? So, I mean, you could say, says Tosis, that we're talking about that he wasn't bodek, you know, wasn't mevatel. And the question, therefore, is that the bedika in that case would actually be a deraisa. Okay, it's one possibility, but then obviously we're switching our cases back and forth, because the next case we assume that we're talking about Bedika, which is, we thought we were talking about a Diraisa, so we have to answer we're talking about a Bedika, which is a Derabbanan and so on. All right. Anyway, the Re himself doesn't like that approach. He learns that the question that we're dealing with over there is Legabi, the actual piece that was brought into the house, in terms of whether it's Mutter L'Achila or not. And it's possible, once we define its status in terms of the heter achila, then we would be defining it as either chometz or matzah legabi the bedika as well, and therefore would have direct implications, even though we're asking about the bedika, but we need to make our decision about the piece. Okay, that's something to take into consideration, and now we can begin today's daf, which is we had gotten up to the third line, the last word on the line. So we had a tzavur echad shel chametz, v'lefanav shnei batim bedukim. So in this case, we've got two houses, both of which were baduk. There's one pile, which is definitely chametz. There's one mouse, and that mouse took a piece, and we don't know what kind of piece he took, and he goes, runs. I mean, sorry, we don't know which house he decided to make his victim. We have no idea if he ran to the right or he ran to the left. What do we do then? Well, we have another case like that in Shas that refers to the famous case of Shnei Shvilin. So the case of Shnei Shvilin is like this. If you've got two paths that go from point A to point B, one of those paths has tuma across the entire path. So there's a kever, such that anybody who walked along that path definitely became Tamei. You have two people, each of whom took one of the paths, and they can't remember who took what. So it all started with this, you take the high road and I'll take the low road. And then they forget how it is that it worked out. So one of them is Vadai Tame, right? So what happens now? Each one of them has touched Tyrus. Now, the reason that we have to talk about each one of them touched Tyrus, and we don't talk about, well, why don't we just ask, does the guy need to go to the mikveh or not? Is because the guy definitely needs to go to the mikveh. Because of the fact that we cannot allow a situation where you're going to have two people where in the event that they would both touch Tyrus, the Tyrus would be definitely Tame. We can't allow that to possibly create a situation where Truma is going to be Tame and somebody's going to be Chaya for eating it and so on. So we'll definitely tell them go to the mikveh. But the question is, the food that they had in their house, is it Tame or not? That's the question. So then we have a very interesting halacha, because that's the issue over here. There definitely was the chometz. I just don't know if the chometz went on path A or path B. So now the idea over here is like this. Halach echad miyam v'yasat tarot. And then bach haverov halach b'sheni v'yasat tarot. So Rabbi Yehuda says, im nishalu ze b'fnei atzmo v'ze b'fnei atzmo torin. If each one of them asks individually, what's my halacha? So then we will tell them that you are tahar. But if they come together, shneim bevat achat, then they're tmeim. Because there is no way that we could possibly issue a psak that where one of these people is definitely tame, or one of these piles of Tyrus is definitely tame, and you're asking about them, I can't tell you that either one is tahar, obviously, because I can't say both are tahar. So if you're asking me about one, I can say, look, if it's a Suffolk tumor, Brush is a rabbim, and Suffolk is tahar, and so on. So as long as it's a separate hora'ah, it's not a problem. If you come together, it is a problem. Rabbi Yossi says, in any event, it's definitely there to me, because it's always going to be nogea to people, whether they asked or not. Omar Ravi Vitam Rabbi Yochanan, look, the truth is, if they really came, bevat achat, and they're standing in front of the best, and they're asking what's the halacha, everybody is moda that you cannot issue a psak of tahar. There for sure it's tame. And b'zeh achar zeh, divrei hakol tahorin. For sure if they come separately. Rabbi Yossi didn't mean to say it's tame even if they come separately. The question is, lo nechleku ela b'bali hisha'el alav v'al chaveiro. A person over here explains the case to the Beis Din and says, what would be our din? So he's asking now about himself and the other. So Rabbi Yossi says, so, I mean, if that's the case, even if both of them are not standing here, you are being asked to paskin in a situation which cannot possibly be tahar for both of them. And the guy asked you whether he's tahar for both of them. So I say it's the same thing. Rabbi Yehuda says, it's not the same thing. Because the issue over here is the question, that the questioner, not the question. So if the question is asked, what is our status? There is absolutely no reason why I, as the Beis Din or as the Rav, why I have to tell you what the other guy's status is. I will tell you, you're Tyrus or Tahar. Now the guy is going to therefore know that the other person's Tyrus or Tahar, which is fine. But there's no innate contradiction in my psak. Therefore, Tainez Rabbi Yehuda, there's no problem over here. Tosis points out that the whole issue about the difference between Vatachat is probably not a diaraisa. It's probably a derabbanan to prevent issues of achuka vatrula on Beis Din, where Beis Din would be saying something that would be paradoxical, and we don't allow that to happen. But there's no reason why we should apply the din of Safek Tuma versus Harabim only one, where one person is asking and not for two, as far as the diaraisa is concerned. And therefore, the machlokis over here would be Rabbi Yossi medamile levatachat, Rabbi Yehuda is medamile bezeh achazeh, and therefore the idea over here would be that if there's no shoel by the case of the batim and the chometz, so if each guy comes to ask, okay, what's my din? Do I have to do a bedika or not? We can tell them, no, you don't have to bedika, because bedikas chometz is a drabbanan, and you can be tola on the fact that you already made your bedika. But if you're going to be coming together, and this would be the issue, asking together, coming together, then we would have this din to protect the nature of psak. Okay, fascinating. Next question. How about in a case where we want to compare it now to some other question? And that is this. I don't know whether the mouse actually managed to get into the house or not. So he grabs the piece. I didn't see whether he got up the front stairs or whether he moved to the side of the house. What's the difference? Well, that's comparable to another famous case, the case of the valley and the machlokas of Rabbi Eliezer and the Rabbana. There's a difference between your rights during Yemot HaGeshamim to walk in other people's fields, which you do not have, because Yemot HaGeshamim has planted fields in which you're walking across will damage the seeds, and therefore it's usur. However, during the season in which the field is fallow and is just lying there, one of the halachas, remember that way before, about the Yoshua Tanaim, allows people to cut across areas, even if they're private property, as long as they're not bothering anybody. So that would mean that in this case, we're talking about a time that nobody is there. Nobody is in the Bika B'Yemot HaGeshamim. The reason why it's important for us to determine if people are there or not is, of course, because the definition of Tumah versus Harabim or Tumah versus Hayachid is not nogea mechitzas, but is nogea the number of people. The reason for that is because the entire basis of the halacha is the comparison to nida, and the way that the Torah takes the raglayim ledovra and the issues of nida that we pasken, according to the fact that she was alone with the guy, that alone is what defines the suffix tumor versus hayochid. If there's three people, three is a crowd. Obviously, we don't have our suffix about being alone with the guy. So therefore, in the halakha l'meshvi Sinai, which is based on v'hi nitma'a, when it comes to the nida, so here too, if nobody else is there. So now we're talking about a suffix tumah, brishut hayachid. Therefore, we should be machmir, because the halakha is that suffix tumah brishut hayachid is tameh. Nonetheless, the question is this. We know that there is tumah in a particular field, field A, in this valley that has from fields A to Z. So a guy says, look, I definitely cut through this area. I don't know if I went through the field that had the tumah or if I didn't go into that field at all. In that case, Rabbi Eliezer is metaher, and the Chachamim are metame, because Rabbi Eliezer used to say, look, there's a big difference between the suffik tumah brishut hayachid, where we're not sure whether you touched it or not, and a suffik tumah where we're not sure if you even got there or not. So basically, most of the mafarshim understand this to be a sveik sveika. Look, I don't even know if I went there, and even if I went there, I don't know if I was in contact with the tumah that was there. And that he holds that there is no din of suffik tumah brishut hayachid in a case of a sveik sveika. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, it would therefore be tahar. According to the Rosh Chacham, it would be tamish. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, suffik bi'ah is tahar. If you're not even sure if you got there, then it's tahar. Suffik magatuma, you were there, I just don't know whether you actually touched it or not. So then the halacha would be that it would be tameh. So he considers that to be a sveik sveika. So now, in this case, as Rashi, even the Rabbanan would be motive, because over here we're talking about Bedikas Chometz being a Rabbanan, which shows that we could be tole. Let's take the next case. Again, comparing our dinim of Chometz to anything that we can find all over Shas that define how it is that we are to proceed when a suffix arises. Now, suppose we had a mouse, went into the house, and you checked it all out. You did not find a piece of chometz in the house. What's the din? Well, there it's a machlokas Rabbi Meir and the Rabban, the Tanan. Hayar Rabbi Meir Omer, kol davar shebecheskas tumah lo olamo betumato, ad sheyivadalecha hatumah hekani. V'chachamim omrim, bodek ad shemagia lesela o lekarka betula. So the question is like this. We had three piles. In the case, the original case, there's three piles. And there was a kezias of tumah in one of them. We don't remember which one. Okay. Check pile number one. Don't find any tumah. Pile number one is now tahar. Piles two and three are still in their status of suffix tumah. Check pile number two. Pile one and two are now tahar. and the tumor is considered to be in pile three. Check pile number three, and there's no tumor. All three are tummy, according to Rabbi Meir, because you need to account for what happened. You can't simply say it disappeared or a mouse came and, rather in this case, a rat came and ate up the tumor. That you can't do. So you need to find out what happened, and until you could tell me, I am not going to rely on a kula because you need to check again. Now, Tosfos says, what do you mean you need to check again? Apply that over here to the dinim of Bedikas Chametz, and it brings you up with a big zero. I checked once, I didn't find it. Thank you, check again. I check again, I didn't find it. When does this stop? I mean, you can't just apply Rabbi Meir and say, well, keep checking. Spend the rest of your yontif looking for the chametz. I mean, if I didn't find it the first time, why would I find it the second time? I mean, it's all very nice to say in the case of the tumah, I'll have to assume that anybody that was exposed to it was tumah because I cannot explain what happened to it. But what's the practical implications when it comes to the issue of a year's as those? You can't just keep going and continue. Now, Rashi understands that, no, the whole point over here is that, of course, even Rabbi Meir in this case would have agreed that I would assume that the rat ate it up or the mouse ate it up because Bedikas Chametz is only Durabbanan. And Tosfos asks the obvious question on that. So then what are we comparing it to? Well, I don't understand. So then don't bring it up. Don't start telling me that's the machlokas, the plukta of Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanan. It has nothing to do with it because it's the Rabbanan. And you're saying I won't be machmir, even Rabbi Meir. That's crazy, says Tosfos. Therefore, the point must be, according to Tosfos, that it's talking about that he had not done a bittul. And what it's saying is that, according to Rabbi Meir, it will not be enough for you to be do a bedika in order not to be overrun by your rabbi yamatzi. Remember that what we said was, according to the Ran, when you do that bedika, then you have every right to rely on the fact that you took care of what you needed to take care of. The point is that, according to Rabbi Meir, you did not take care of what you needed to take care of. So don't ask me what to do again. Be mevatel your chametz, you idiot. That way, even if there's chametz there, so you're not going to be over on it. But you can't tell me, well, I did the best that I can. I mean, go account for the chametz. That's the point, which is beautiful. Then the whole sugya makes perfectly good sense that we compare it to the machlokas of Rabbi Meir. Okay, next. Suppose you walked into the house, checked the house, and you actually did find a piece of chametz. The question is a piece of chametz the piece of chametz? Oh, now that's an interesting question. I mean, you know, you found a piece of chametz. Maybe there's another 100 pieces of chametz over there, but considering the job that you did on the bedika, can you rely that what you found was what was lost? That is a machlokas between Rebbe and Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. It's amazing. It's like across all of Shas. So, Ditanya. Sadesh and Avad Bakar. Let's say we have a Misora about a particular field where, like the previous generation says, you know, we buried so and so in this field. Can't remember exactly where that kever was, you know, because of the flooding that took place afterwards. We know somewhere in this field there was a kever. And then, so the halacha is over there that if you walk through it, so then we have all of the dinim of the Suffolk Tumah and your Tumah. But how about if one day they're building a house there and all of a sudden they uncover a kever? So then, from that point on, when they took out the kever, they moved it over to the Beit HaKvarot, and then it's all tahor. Why? Shani omer kever sha'avadu kever shenimtza, divrei Rebbe. Rebbe says, look, you found the kever, you lost the kever. I mean, obviously, that is the kever. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel says, well, I don't know. I mean, you can't identify it just because there was a kever there. Doesn't mean there wasn't some other kever there. So how do you know that this is the same kever that was avad? You're not able to be metayer that field unless you bulldoze the whole thing. Tibadek kol hasadeh kula. And so, therefore, in this case as well, if we know that you found it, so then the question is, can you rely on the issue here? That would be dependent on that machlokas. Now, suppose you leave 9 pieces of chametz to eat in the morning. You come back the next morning, and now there are 10 pieces of chametz. Now, this is a more interesting question. Now, that relates to another machlokas. And that would be the machlokas between Rebbe and the Rabbana. The Tanya, hiniach mana umatza matayim. So what would be the din if you had, like, you left a certain amount of money, $100 of money that was Meister Shaney coins. And now you come back and there's 200. So then Rebbe says, well, there's an additional 100 coin, $100 worth of coins. And you've got now a mixture of Chulin and Meister Shaney. And all you need to do is be Mechalel the Meister Shaney on coins that you know are Chulin. Or Tosfos says you could make a Tanai if the coins I took are the Meister Shaney, fine. And if not, wherever the Meister Shaney is, let it be Mechulal on these coins. Fine. Now, that's according to Rebbe. The Chachamim say, oh, no. Coins do not reproduce. And therefore, there is no reason for us to genetically relate the new coins to the old coins. If there is 100 new coins, then the whole thing apparently was removed, and these are other coins. Now, the same thing would be true, Lagabi the Chometz. If I've got 9 pieces, so then, according to the Rabbanan, since Chometz do not reproduce, we have to assume that this, why would I think just because there's another piece that it was an additional piece? Somebody changed something. So it's very possible that the original pieces are all gone and were eaten up by, or not eaten up, but were spread around the house at the various mouse holes. So according to them, you'd have to check the entire house, because how do you know that this is not other chometz that some other guy put down there? How about in another case? How about if you left 10 and now you find 9? What is halacha over there? Ah, well, that would be the equivalent of the end of that machlokes. The Tanya and that same brisa, if in the case of the money of the Meister Shaney, you left $200 originally and now you come back and there's only 100 that are there. So again, Rebbe says, okay, somebody walked off with 100. So you've got a mana munach and a mana mutal, divrei Rebbe. Whereas the Chachamim say, no, here too, hakol chulin. So therefore, according to Rebbe, who says, listen, what you found was part of what was, okay, so here too, you'd only have to find the missing piece. And that missing piece will be sufficient for your bedika. Whereas according to Rabbanon, you're going to have to check out to make sure all of the pieces are there, because it's very possible that there's not a single one of the original pieces here at all. Okay, Akokulin. Next case. Hiniach bezavit zo umatzah bezavit acheret. Let's say you left your chametz in one corner of the kitchen, and you come back the next morning, and you find it somewhere else. Now, how the heck did that happen? So that's a machlokes between Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel and the Rabbona. Because it says in a braita like this, I left a hatchet, and it disappeared, okay? So now I have to assume, if my hatchet disappeared, there was a burglar in the house, and he undoubtedly, could have touched anything in the house. And if I am being zohir about Tuma, then burglars are certainly not chaverim. So I would have to assume that everything in the house is tame, because how do I explain the fact that something just disappeared? Ani omer adam tame nichnas l'sham v'netala. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says, man, oh man, how we forget human nature. The bias is completely tahar, gentlemen. You're such an idiot. You lent the hatchet to somebody, and you just don't remember. Or you thought you put your car keys in one corner, and you ended up really putting your car keys in another corner. For you to come up with the explanation that obviously a ghost has come into your house and moved things around is a little bit unrealistic. So the same thing should be true over here. Shani Omer, it's much more likely. You obviously lent out your hatchet and you just forgot. Or you left your car keys somewhere else. You took it from here. You left it in another. Man, how many times does that happen? So the same thing would be true over here. If you hold, like Rav Shimon Gamliel, there's nothing to worry about. But if you hold according to the Rabbanan, you have to, in fact, consider that maybe this is not the same thing. So according to the Rabbanan, you would need to make a bedika, because maybe a mouse had come in and did this, right? Okay, Tosfos points out the interrelationships between this question and the question that we had on Amud Aleph about, is this the same one that was originally lost? So he tines that it's probable that the Rabbanan over here, that the Shita over here, they don't hold like the Rabbanan of Husha Avad, Husha Nimtza, But in that issue, they hold the Rav Shimon Gamliel, that you have to check the entire field. Or you could say that it's talking about over here that I'm not sure how many, and therefore I would need Bedika because I have to check them all. Okay, but Tosis throughout this daf, by the way, keeps relating the sugyas to, and what would you have said about the other cases? So if that's confusing you, it's kedai to look at that. But don't think you're crazy in saying, how are we just talking about this without actually figuring out how it relates to the previous daf? Okay, next. Wait a minute. What do you mean next, says the Gemara? Why in the world did Rav Shimon Gamliel start talking about your car keys in one corner and find them in another corner? Who was talking about car keys? All we said was, if you lost something, we were the ones who asked about what if you left your chametz in one corner and found it in another corner. It's pretty interesting that Rav Shimon ben Gamliel listened into our Gemara generations before while he was writing. And as far as the car keys are concerned, nobody talked about car keys. So Mando Hashme, whoever mentioned anything about the car keys? No, there's a piece missing here. Chasuri Mechasr. We're missing a piece. V'hochi Katani. The correct thing that it said over here was that there were two cases. Either the hammer was lost somewhere, and therefore the bias is Tameh. Shani Omer et Adam Tameh Nechasr Shaman et Halo. Or in a case of Inichu Bezavit Zo Matzo Bezavit Acheret. In that case as well, the din is the same. The bayit is tameh for the same reason. And then Rav Shimon Gamliel says, no. Sh'ani omer hishilo la'acher v'shachach, o sh'netalo mizavit zu, v'niach bezavit zu, v'shachach. Okay, next issue that I would like to bring up, it says Rava, is things that I can't bring rayas for, but I want to leave you to think about. Different sveikas that are not covered by any of the interesting cases we had before. Now, here's my question. If you see the mouse running into the house, and he is carrying a piece of bread in his mouth, and I run after him, and I find a bunch of crumbs, which I weigh, and they end up being the same weight as the piece that went, obviously, the literally weigh, but in other words, it needs to account for the piece. There's enough pirurim there that could be that piece. Well, says Rava, in this case, I believe that you would still need to do medika because mice do not usually go around and turn a piece of bread into a bunch of crumbs. Furthermore, says Rava, how about if a kid walks into a house and he is holding a piece of bread and we come in and we find a bunch of crumbs over there? That's exactly what kids do. They love to make a mess. So then you do not need to make a bedika because it's the derech of a tinok to be mefarer. Now, another question. A mouse carrying a piece in his mouth runs into the house. A minute later, a mouse runs out of the house and is carrying a piece of bread in his mouth. What is the din over there? Shall we say, this is the mouse that ran in, and this is the mouse that came out? Or is it some, now, again, what about the machlokas of the Rebbe Shimon Gamliel? Do you have to check the whole field? Is it the same kever? Is it not the same kever? Says Tosfos, no. Don't relate it to that question, because over here what we're talking about is immediately. So since it's immediate, so it's much more raglayim ledavar, that it is the same thing. So it doesn't necessarily have to be nogea, the machlokas we had before. So that's the question. Or maybe the other mouse came running out when it saw that mouse come running in because he figured there'd be a bunch of people with hatchets chasing it, and he wanted to get out in time. Now, im timtzo lomar, if you're ready to say that I have a right to assume that it's the same mouse that went in and the same mouse that came out, how about if it was a white mouse running in and a black mouse coming out? What happened now? Did he run into a crowd of Black Lives Matter or something inside? Or is this, in fact, definitely a different mouse? Now, what is my suffix? Well, I'll tell you. We could say, obviously, if it's a different color, so, I mean, one would think that it's a different mouse. But on the other hand, we could say that maybe, yes, Vadeachrino, but on the other hand, we could say, look, Black Lives Matter often walk away with your piece of bread. So maybe this big black mouse had grabbed the bread out of the mouse's, the white mouse's mouth, right? And ran off with it. So maybe it's the same piece of bread. Now, if you will answer me, I mean, how do you suspect mice of being as idiotic as humans and stealing from each other? I mean, for heaven's sakes, mice wouldn't steal from each other. So ve'im timtzu lomar achbarim lo shakle mihadadi, a mouse wouldn't take a piece of bread from another mouse. So then what would be if a mouse runs into a house and out comes a rat and it's holding a piece of bread? Well, what's the din? I mean, certainly a rat would steal from a mouse any day, right? Or maybe I have a right to say, no, this must be a different piece of bread. Because if that rat had stolen this bread from that mouse, why is the mouse not in his mouth? Because, I mean, certainly the mouse would be yummy and he would want to eat the mouse too, right? So that makes me think it might be another thing. Now, if you want to tell me that in that case, he would, in fact, have been found in the mouth of the rat, how about where the mouse runs in, has a piece of bread, the rat comes out, and he is holding a piece of bread and a mouse. Ha! So now we have good reasons to assume rat caught mouse and bread. But there's a problem with that, because if rat caught mouse and bread, why is the bread not in the mouth of the mouse and instead in the mouth of the rat? Of course, we could account for we could account for that by the fact that this poor mouse was terrified when it was being chased by the rat. It dropped the bread. The rat grabs a piece of bread before he grabs the mouse and now manages to bring them both out. And therefore, we can still assume that we are talking about the same piece of bread. So do we say, Hakavadai iuhu, over here, it's definitely the same thing. Or do we say, Im ita diuninu kikar bepi achbar mishtakeachu? How come it's not in the mouse's mouth? Or we could say, O Dilma Mishum Biatuta, he was terrified and it fell. And now the rat took it. All the above questions, you may not be surprised to learn, are taken. So this will take a lot of research, and perhaps maybe La can come up with an AI program that can do some rapid experimentation, and then we'll see what the din would be on all of these. I would prefer waiting for Elio Anovi, who undoubtedly will be here very soon. Boy Rava, how about if you've got a piece of bread and you put it on top of a roof beam? Now, in order to get it down, you're going to need to rent a ladder, because you don't have a ladder that's high. Now, I mean, it may be up there, and I know it's up there, but it could be mevatalit, and it's certainly not going to show up downstairs, because how would it get off of a roof beam to come down to the floor? So even if you want to say, like Tosfos says, and it doesn't have to be like Tosfos, but I'll explain why. But even if you want to say, as Tosfos says, that the reason that we made the takona to be able to, that we need to make a bedika, even though we make a bito, is because we're afraid you're going to eat it, and not like Rashi and the Ran, who learned that the reason that we made the bedika is because we can't rely on a normal people knowing enough about their minds and awareness to be able to do a real bito. There still would be, once we made that takana, you see, it would incorporate Tosfos's reasoning as well, even according to Rashi. As if we're telling you to get rid of your chometz, we mean we don't want you to have chometz in your house. And that includes the question of your interactions with that chometz, which include possibly eating it. So therefore, I should say, in this case, I don't need to worry about eating it either. And it wouldn't even be included in one of the far out reasons for you to get rid of your chometz, because how in the world would you ever come to eat it if there's no way to get to it and there's no way for it to get to you? So that's the question. Tzarich sulam lohorida o ein tzarich. Mi aminu kulei hai lo atrochu rabbanan. Kivan de lo nochis binafshi lo asilomichle. Remember that this whole takana is a chiyav de rabbanan. It's putting you into a heck of a lot of trouble. So the rabbanan didn't want to put you through all of this where it's really unreasonable that there would be any problem in having it in your house. O dilma zibne de nafa va'atilomichle. Or do we have to be afraid of, look, I mean, you never know. Maybe it'll be like an earth trembler or something and you will come to eat it. Now, the imtim tzulomer, if you want to tell me, no, you're going to have to get rid of it. How about if the kikar is down in a deep pit? Would I need to rent a ladder to go down there or bring a ladder from a neighbor to go? You'll see why I didn't say rent in a minute. So would I need to bring a ladder to get it up or not? I mean, over here, look, I mean, things don't move up. They only move down. So over here, for sure, I don't have to worry about it. Look, he might go down there for intimate purposes or whatever he needs to do, and there he might actually come to eat it. And if you want to tell me, yes, that's possible, and what would be the din if I've got this big python who's got this loaf of bread in his mouth? Now, I don't know how to deal with that python. But what I could do is I could bring a snake charmer, or I could call one of these companies that deal with pythons that have giant kikrot in their mouths, you know. But that's the question. Am I mechuyev to spend money on this thing or not? Because, I mean, look, it's probable that the python's going to take it out of the house, is not going to leave it in the house, or possibly will eat it itself. So with the Rabbanan demanding that I should pay money where I am not expected to be able to do the bedikah on my own, so do we say, only begufi atrachu Rabbanan, b'mamoni lo atrachu Rabbanan, o dimaloshna, maybe you have to do whatever is necessary, even if you can't be expected to handle it on your own, teku. Okay, I think that is where we should stop for today, which gives us some yummy time for Masechet Ohalot, and that's because really the next stuff is from the next Mishnah. I think we should even do both Mishnahs tomorrow at the same time, the one on Yud Aleph as well, and that way we'll get more of a picture of what's going on over here in terms of the various times. When do we do Bedikah? What if you miss the Bedikah? Do you do a Bedikah during Yontif? So on and so forth. All these questions are going to be raised, but it's a new world, because what we've done so far is determined when and where and under what circumstances and what sveikas and what chazokas and what ne'amanus and so on and so forth you need to do Bedikas Chometz. Now the question is, okay, what are the other times that you might need to do Bedikas Chometz? We've dealt with the Or L'Arba'asar.